Welcome to the Second Society Project. This is a production dedicated to the energetic, creative, and peaceful maintenance of the faith, morals, wisdom, knowledge, and information required to preserve the people's capacity to restore, protect, and build just and flourishing institutions, societies, nations, and civilizations. This is July the 10th, 2021. The title of this episode is Dear Australia. I'm your host, David Schmidt. So we're being told that Sydney, Australia is under another lockdown, or a continuation of what has been so far now a 2-week lockdown, and that the reason given for this, according to a woman named Gladys Berejiklian, forgive me, I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that properly. This political leader says, quote, "The reason why we've extended is because of a number of cases still infectious in the community. And we've extended the lockdown to give us the best chance of not having another lockdown," Berejiklian said. Now, this is reported in the Mercury News by AP writer Rod McGuirk. Now, let's understand this, the absurdity of this. Sydney, according to Wikipedia, has 5.4 million people. And what kind of numbers are we talking about? We're talking about 27 people on Wednesday, supposedly identified as having a COVID. And I presume we're talking now about this Delta variant. I'm not sure, but these articles, you know, they're so poorly written these days. it's hard to tell. It says there's 27 people identified on Wednesday, 13 of whom were not in isolation. Now, I don't know exactly how this is working, but so you have 14 in isolation. We're told nothing about who these people and their state of sickness. Are they even symptomatic? We don't know. So this is again a demonstration of not only poor governance but also poor journalistic reporting. Now, I'm a scientist, but I'm also a man of faith. And being people of faith in this time is actually the unusual situation. Despite what Hollywood claims about who are the heroes and who is courageous, really it's people of faith today who demonstrate courage. This is the stance that requires heroism. But I can tell you, as somebody who I believe understands human behavior rather well, my doctoral work was in neuroethology, and I try to be well read outside of my field. It seems rather clear that religious behavior is an absolute fact. It's universally expressed in cultures around the world. And it seems that it takes actually a great deal of effort for many people to unlearn their religiosity. Though I'll admit, some people do seem to shed their religious inclinations or what little of them they have rather easily. But religion, and remember, go back to the Latin root of the word, religare, means to tie together, just as a ligature is a string, if you will, for used to suture together a wound. Well, religion is what helps us suture together those wounds in life, those wounds in our picture of the world around us. It allows us to suture it all back together and to make a unified sense of it. It's indeed true that the religious language and the language of faith is the only means of expressing some very important, complicated cognitive ideas, perceptions, intuitions, analyses, justified suspicions. And it's the only language that can really speak with a fortified hope. So if I had to characterize the situation that we're facing today, I would say that it's the inability to think religiously and in a way that integrates rigorous logical reasoning, commitment to scientific method, and intellectual curiosity, that is the deficient position. So the ability to think religiously as well as to think rationally is the more desirable condition. So we are dealing now in this COVID crisis with a spiritual crisis. And I address you people in Australia, particularly in Sydney, to awaken your minds to the fact that you have a spiritual problem and that you're going to need to exercise spiritual power. And the beauty of this situation, if you could say it that way, even though there's so much suffering, the beauty of this is that we're seeing emerging a confluence of both science and religion. So often we've been told to think that these are in opposition. But of course, people who would want to disempower us will try to convince us that these things are in opposition. So now you're facing a political, economic, social, psychological, and spiritual crisis. Some years ago, you gave up your guns. Foolishly, I think. So you cannot rely on the threat of those worldly tools to protect you in the crisis that I described. And so be it. Let God be exalted then in the power of His ways and ways that are above the ways of nature and its weaponry. So I'm addressing primarily Catholics and Protestants. For the latter, I would ask you to arm yourselves with your Bibles. For Catholics, You have, of course, the Bible, but also the rosary, your crucifixes, holy water, and those many sacramentals related to devotion to different angels and saints as part of the communion of saints. And in particular, at the end, I'm going to remind you of the power of Saint Michael the Archangel, especially in helping us in spiritual combats. Of course, what I'm saying does not mean that others, such as those of the Jewish faith, for instance, couldn't also grab your yarmulkes and prayer shawls and do as you see fit, as I'm about to describe here. If you're virulently secular, if you're a virulently secular individual, then perhaps you can find another symbolism that will assist you in what I'm about to suggest for you and lay out. For instance, I recall, as I think about this, that iconic photo from the anti-war period in the United States, during the war in Vietnam. There was this photo of this young woman, you probably remember it as well, inserting a flower in the gun barrel held by a National Guardsman during a protest. So I'll leave that to your creativity. Now, returning to the Christians, Christian audience with whom I'm most familiar and most competent to address. It is time then to begin immersing yourselves and ourselves, the whole world along with you, in prayer. And you can certainly pray for protection and healing of the physically vulnerable to any infectious disease, of course. My goodness, we want to do that. Any viruses that might be afflicting people, and including to whatever degree it's significant, the SARS-CoV-2 virus. But very importantly, however, we also want to have sufficient knowledge to apprehend the true enemy and the true nature of this situation that we're suffering. So the COVID crisis is clearly coming into view as a situation which is being manipulated through the media, through government, through corporations, the churches, captured churches, and other organizations to create a distorted picture of a threat. And it's pretty obvious that this is being done for political and economic purposes, manipulative purposes, what is called the Great Reset. And, in an early podcast in January 2021 that I produced, entitled The Coronavirus and the Vigilant Bird Concept, Coronavirus and the Vigilant Bird Concept, I and a co-host, Joe Atwell, described the reality of higher levels of predation. And we used the picture of vigilant birds, such as robins out in your lawn in the early morning, and how vigilant robins, maybe single individuals in the whole flock, would remain with their head up, looking around, exhibiting a vigilant behavior, protecting their flock mates, and being on the lookout for predators. And there are predators indeed, who are stalking us in both natural and spiritual senses. And we have to be humble enough to recognize that there are intelligences far above ours, even within human human society, but also even above all humans, and that these intelligences seek to harm us and to subdue us and even to kill us. Such predators, or devils in spiritual terminology, can only be combated with prayer and fasting. We battle not, as St. Paul tells us, tells the Christian disciple, we battle not against flesh and blood, but rather against powers and principalities in high places. Our Lord himself tells us that there is a prince of this world, and that this prince of the world has been judged and will be cast out in the end. So we can take heart. We're going to win at some point, and God is going to win this battle. We must serve in this battle, as is our portion, in spirit and truth, and we don't rely on lies, as does our enemy, but we trust in the Logos, as in the Gospel of John, the Word, who was from the beginning. Our Lord tells us that we can be confident. We can be confident of our eventual victory. I repeat that. So now we must take steps in faith here in this practical world, and now. I'm addressing specifically those in Sydney. You are faced with physical restrictions on your life, unjust physical restrictions, unnecessary physical restrictions. There's plenty of information on the internet by very good scientists that explain why these kind of measures are not only unnecessary, but also harmful. And now we have to think of how peacefully we can resist these things. Okay, so grab those tools of spiritual warfare, starting, of course, with prayer, being carried through with prayer and ending in prayer. For you, again, you Christians, grab your Bibles and your rosaries, your prayer books, crucifixes, holy waters, sacramentals, and start reclaiming your necessary freedom of movement and assembly. So, what do we do? What do I suggest here? Well, here we go. On day one, take one step outside of your home at precisely 5 p.m. Everybody do this. Step outside and say your prayers, open your Bibles, read your Bible, read a pertinent passage from the Bible. In fact, read any passage from the Bible. How could it be impertinent? And occupy that space of freedom for 15 minutes. Everybody do this at once. Are you telling me that in a city of 5-some million people, that if a significant number of you are doing this, that they can arrest you all at that time, that they can harass you all at that time? Well, they'll try, I'm sure, and that, I suppose, is maybe what you need to pray about and see if you're ready to stand for your faith. And then on day two, take 2 steps outside of your home. Everybody do this at 5 p.m. Inhabit that space for 15 minutes and pray. Again, say your rosaries if you're a Catholic or an Anglican. And lift your hearts and minds up to God. And be encouraged that so many other people will be doing this at the same time. And keep doing this incrementally. On day 3, take 3 steps outside of your house. Pray at 5 p.m. for 15 minutes. 15 at 5. Let that be your mantra. Keep doing this. Meet in the streets, praying. Let the Holy Spirit guide you as this progresses. And do this all over the whole city. And for you Catholics again, say the prayer of St. Michael, the Archangel, the Our Father, the Hail Mary, and the Glory Be doxology. Everybody can stay in the streets at some point as the Holy Spirit is emboldening more and more of you as the authorities see where this is going. On Sundays, kneel outside of your house, perhaps, and read the words of the Mass as you would during the time when you would normally be at the Mass. If you're a Protestant, read some classic sermon by or exhortation by a well-regarded preacher. Be creative, but everybody stick to the 15 at 5 habit. Watch what happens. Communicate with each other. Call each other on the phone. Send emails. We're learning how to disconnect from things like Facebook and Twitter and those other tools of manipulative monitoring and surveillance. So send emails. Make email trees and chains. It's not perfect either. I'm sure it's being surveilled. But listen and communicate to good information on the internet. Turn off the TV. In fact, there's a nice big trash can, I'll bet, in your backyard where that TV can fit into quite nicely. Connect with people outside of Sydney, around Australia, and around the world. And remember that St. Michael's prayer that I talked to you about and which I'm about to read here in closing. St. Michael the Archangel, in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, defend us in the day of battle. Be our safeguard against the wickedness and the snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits that roam the world seeking the ruin of souls. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Remember, 15 at 5. We're with you, Australia. God bless.